Paul was clear that we were to run the spiritual race to win. But how? How do you run to win? In our new series, When Sunday School Works Well, Dr. Matthew Lee Smith explains both the principle and four key strategies from the Apostle Paul's own words to make that happen in the lives of the men and women you disciple. Let's listen in as Dr. Smith trains key leaders like yourself at a recent conference in Northern California on the subject, Winning Depends on These Strategies.
But the reality is that you and I have these amazing, talented people and gifts from God. You remember Aesop's fable and the goose that laid the golden eggs. And you remember that all these golden eggs kept coming out of the geese. You have gold in your Sunday school class. You have gold amongst the contacts. Each one of those people in your Sunday school class has a sphere of people that need to know Christ. Imagine what would happen if your Sunday school class of seven could reach seven of their friends. You'd have doubling of your Sunday school class. And they'd have seven friends. I mean, it's just geometric. Oh, by the way, they have families too. And the goose that laid the golden eggs tells us about three very simple truths which comes out of a principle. And the principle is that within each of us, the potential for greatness exists. And that greatness depends on wisdom and patience. So as the person who's in charge of Sunday school, or the person who's in charge of your class, you're going to need to use some wisdom and patience, and I want you to pay attention to three things. Number one, you have physical assets, things that you can use to accomplish the goal. You have a classroom. You have curriculum. You have all this stuff. We've got projectors, and we've got all this stuff. Use them. And what do you do with this stuff? Well, what you do with this stuff is you maintain these things so they're in good readiness to be used. Make sure your room is painted. If the church won't pay for it, just paint it. If they say, who paid for it? Say, I don't know. The deacons are looking for somebody to get some money out of. Just trust me. Financial assets, money. You've got some. Everybody in your class has got some. Invest that money so that interest is paid over time. Use the money wisely. Pour the money into a project that people can see the results of. Maybe it's for somebody in the church. You've got a widow who's in need. Maybe you've got some kids who've been orphaned. Take care of them. Maybe you've got a project that needs to be done. Just take some money and throw it at it. Well, the church isn't giving us any. You got some in your pocket, right? I got some tonight, right here, okay? I mean, how many of you came to the conference without money? That's pretty crazy, right? Okay, number three. We have human assets. These are your greatest assets. You cultivate these friendships. If you're going to reach people for Christ, we're going to talk about this tomorrow. You're going to reach people for Christ. You need to understand that every person has at least 10 friends. If you could win 5 of those to Christ, your pastor would have a heart attack, you'd be on a new search committee. Okay? Let me give you 4 key strategies to win and we'll go home. Number one, you need to be proactive. You need to run to win. You need to choose the way you run in life. You need to make serious decisions based on what you want to do. Do you want to win? What does the win look like? Then I need to start running in that direction. This is how Paul said it. Paul said it this way. Read it with me. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Did you not remember that? My Cubs, when they win, when they beat the Mets,
when they do.
He said when they do.
Sorry, Pastor. 1908. Sorry.
But you're from Wisconsin.
Not Amen. I've been a Cubs fan. I've been a Cubs fan all my life. Hey, they shipped the Milwaukee Braves away. Not my fault. I was around. Run in such a way that you should obtain the prize. Anybody doing anything, anywhere for Jesus Christ who isn't trying to win is not being biblical. I need to run to win the prize. And so I run hard. I run hard. I run hard. In fact, this is what Paul said. We make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well pleasing to Him. How do you get the well done? You got to add to what he's given you. If you took a Sunday school class and it started with 10, if you get it up to 20, he's going to say, well done. But if you took it at 10 and it's 10, it's been 10 years, he's going to say, we'll go on to that another day. Therefore, we make it our aim to be present, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to him, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Just think IRS audit. That each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. You and I are going to get audited by Jesus. He's going to look at everything we did. He's going to give us rewards based on what we did that actually was beneficial to the kingdom of God. It's that simple. In fact, I'm getting ready to write a book on that called Rewards. Very exciting. Very exciting stuff. Proactive people are driven by their values. They carefully thought about them. You know, I was thinking I needed to get married. I need to find the right woman. So I started making lists. And I had a spiritual list. She had to be a pastor's kid because I didn't know anything about the church and I was being called to be a pastor. She had to be godly so she could show me. She had to be wise because I'm smart. I mean, I had to have these balances in my life. I had these lists, all these lists. I even had a list for physical appearance. It was my last list. Blonde hair, blue eyes, 5'2", other things we won't talk about. I got it all. I got every single list. Now, I want to know, what's your list for Sunday school? Did you make a list? Are you praying the list? Are you working the list? That's what you're driven by. See, reactive peoples are driven by their feelings. Or by circumstances, things. So I'm asking you today, what is really of value to you? Now, how do you find this? How do you be more proactive? How do you be more proactive? Glad you asked. Number one, get in the race. Make some commitments to change. Tonight on the way home, before you go to bed, get down on your knees and say, God, I want to change. I need to win some people to Christ. We need to disciple some new people. We need to grow this class because people matter. People are going to hell. Second, get in the race and compete. Have an attitude necessary to compete. I heard several of you say, it was a tough week. I'm so glad you're here. That's the attitude you need to have. You just keep running. When everybody else is dropping out, you just keep at it. You keep praying for those people. I got a list of people I'm praying for. I was praying for my friend across the street when I was in high school. When I came to Christ, he was on drugs. I prayed for him from 1973 until 2003 when he finally called me up and said, Maddie, my sister just died. And I said, David, I told you, and I've told you, and I'm telling you again, you need Jesus Christ. 30 years you came to Christ. You don't quit. You pray. You talk. You witness. You do everything you can. Just don't quit. Be in the race to win. Pay the price needed to win. This strategy works. Just keep working to win. By the way, who wants you to win? Jesus. Do you remember what he said at the end of verse 20 in Matthew 28? And lo, I'm with you half the time. Once in a while. I don't see too many Christians believing that these days. I talk to him in my car. They think I'm singing to a song. People as they drive by, I'm talking to him. Hey, you said you'd be here. Where are you? I need you right now. I'm not being disrespectful. I'm being serious. I need you right now. Do you ever call up somebody and say, I thought you were going to be here? That's what I do to Jesus all the time. I need help. I'm proactive. Second, you need to prepare. Preparation. You need to run with some self-control. That's why we're on this diet. That's why we've lost 43 pounds together. It's because we've done some things with self-control. We don't keep stuffing the stuff that makes us fat. By the way, we don't eat any fruit because it's got sugar in it. Natural sugar. Natural sugar is good for you. Yeah, it's good to make you fat. How do I know? I'm not as fat as I was before. Trust me. It'd make you fat. I love fruit. I miss my banana every day. Grapes. They had grapes at the pastor's meeting, the cluster group. They had grapes. I was going, nope. Because when I come back, you're all going to say, do you have an older, fatter brother? I'm going to say, no, that's me. Look at everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a temporary perishable crown. But we have an imperishable crown coming. You and I have an opportunity. Jesus Christ wants to give us an incredible reward. Not just salvation. Listen, somebody's got to pick up the trash in heaven. It's not going to be me. I want to be one of those people with a higher position in heaven. It's very exciting. If you haven't read Heaven by Randy Alcorn, let me encourage you to read it. And there's different... Oh man, it's just exciting what God's going to do. But remember, don't be deceived. God's not mocked. Whatever we sow, that's all we reap. You know these people? I was driving up here, there's a couple billboards along the way. It said, living with your in-laws is not a retirement plan. What do you expect they sell? Probably an investment portfolio, right? If you don't put money away now, when you retire, guess how much money you're going to have? Oh, I know, you're depending on the federal government. Good luck with that. Good luck with that. Yeah. Is it our grandchildren now are going to pay the taxes for the stuff we owe? Is that what it is? It's getting scary, isn't it? How do you be prepared to move more effectively? Number one, remember there's a reward for preparation. There's a prize. Remember what Lincoln said when he was young? I will study and prepare myself, and then someday, my chance may come. Got to prepare. Got to prepare. What are your goals for the next 10 years? Prepare. Recall the competition. This is serious. People are counting on you. There are others. Lucifer is working overtime right now. Work the plan. Plan the work. Number three, rethink constantly about the goal you're pursuing. I like Covey's idea of weekly planning. Every Sunday night, I sit down and plan out my week. I learned that from Covey. Every Sunday night, I plan out my week. Let me encourage you as a Sunday school teacher, every Sunday night, plan out your week. Who am I going to pray for? What would I like to see happen next Sunday? Or next Sundays? What do I need to do this week to make those goals happen? God bless you. What do I need to plan? Do that every Sunday night. Just plan. I love that concept. It's been one of the wonderful ones. Third strategy. I said there's four. Third one. Passion. Run with a goal. What's your goal? Lord, if you would give me 5 more years, I would like my Sunday school to be. 5 more people. Really? The new picture of the universe. Have you seen it? Melody and I were just down at the Griffith Park Observatory. You can Google it online. They have a brand new picture. I just downloaded it. Of the solar systems all throughout the cosmos. There's jillions of them. You see, when my God says, let there be light, boom! He can't do things small. Start praying some God-sized prayers. What'd Paul say? Read it with me. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Do you know where you're going? I had to come 411 miles to get here. I listened to my GPS phone tell me every single turn to make because I knew exactly where I was coming. I was coming to First Baptist Orangeville. Exactly where it's coming. Imagine if I got on the road and didn't know where I was going and just started driving. Don't make your Sunday school like that. Where am I going? Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air. Make your work count. Make it connect. What did Jesus say? Where your treasure is, there's your heart also. Now, how do you find passion and pursue it? Number one, be absolutely sure you know why you're running the race. You have to have a reason. It might be the well done, good and faithful servant. It might be because you want to see boys and girls come to Christ. It might be because you don't want to see one single person die. It might be because you'd like to see this church grow. But put it down in writing. Number two, be completely convinced that you desire to run in this race. Remember what I said? If there's not a fire in your heart, Sunday afternoon, just write your resignation. If this isn't for you, Just get out of the race. Them Cubs are going to win. They got a fire, and you seen those bats swing? Woo! Man, I'm telling you. They just beat the living daylights out of the Cards. Woo! Tell you, it's just fun to watch. Third, continuously be building your passion by feeding on the things that stoke the fire in your heart. I don't know what makes your heart grow. I don't know what it makes it go. I don't know what you need to do to fan the flame. But whatever you need to do, do it. But I'll tell you this, you will never fan the flame by spending time with firefighters. There's some people you need to cut out of your life. New Testament's got a whole list of people you and I, as Christ followers, aren't supposed to spend time with if they call themselves Christ followers. Whole list of them. Read through the New Testament letters. They're all over the place. Paul talks about them all the time. This is what stokes my fire, reading the Old Testament. Would Paul say, for whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that through patience and comfort of the Scriptures we might have hope. I'm in the Word. What he said about the Old Testament, I now believe about the New. They're written for comfort and hope. And I read the text cover to cover every year. Cover to cover every year. At least once. On my 38th read. Final strategy. Persistence. We're attending this church near our house. Because of finances, we can't always make it down to Saddleback. Saddleback's a 70-mile one-way trip. Round trip. And so we go to this church. Corey, near us, 1978, he became the pastor of a church of 35. They made a couple moves, and then he decided they were going to plant a new church. So he decided he'd become the church planter. So they moved the church twice since 1978, and then he became the planter church. Church is running 800 today. The planter church, not the church. And they just planted a church and dropped off 100 people. Persistence. You just keep at it. You keep reaching more people. What did Paul say in 1 Corinthians 9:27? Read it with me. But I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself might become disqualified. I just quit. Don't quit. Don't quit. So how do you remain persistent? Last strategy. Here it is. You need to remove the resistance to persistence. How do you do that? Number one, quit making a habit of giving up. Winning's not a sometimes thing. It's an all-time thing. Since I'm from Wisconsin, Vince Lombardi for you, Pastor. Winning is a habit. Unfortunately, so is losing. Woo, that's a tough one. Number two, change your view of life. Life doesn't owe us anything. Not a thing. Zig Ziglar said, when you do the things you ought to do, when you ought to do them, the day will come when you will do the things you want to do, when you want to do them. I found that to be true. It's amazing what God can do. Third, change your view of yourself. You can succeed if you stick with it. You not only need to remove the resistance to persistence. Number two, you need to restore the assistance you need to be persistent. Number one, get rid of the excuses. Every time you start to give yourself an excuse, just ask your spouse or friend to say, knock it off. George Washington Carver said, 99% of failure come from people who have the habit of making excuses. Yes. Number two, accept your responsibilities. How many of you remember that commercials where the little boy was talked about? I was neglecting my responsibilities. And he's got the dog. And he talks about how the drinking was the worst. He's got a 2-liter bottle of soda up there. And I'm always thinking about that video clip. And I'm thinking, how many times we have responsibilities and we'd rather go and sit down and just rest because we're tired. Of course you're tired. It's the end days. None of us are going to get into heaven without being exhausted. Some of us ain't even going to make it. It's okay. It's okay. Just don't neglect your responsibilities. In fact, a leader can give up everything except responsibility. Can't be a leader if you're not going to do your responsibility. And hunger for distinction. Did you ever wonder why the book of Hebrews has chapter 11 in it? What's chapter 11 of Hebrews? The Hall of Faith. Why is that in there? So we can teach about people in the Old Testament? You think that's why it's there? Why do you think it's there?
They're examples.
Of? For? So that?
We can know the same.
So we can be in the Hall of Faith?
Be encouraged.
So we can be people of like faith to do like things so that we too will be known in heaven as people of great faith. Now remember, not all Christians are alike. God doesn't think the same thing about everybody. That's another Lucifer lie. Do you remember what John said? What was John's nickname for himself? I was the one whom
Jesus loved.
As in, Do you remember in the Old Testament? Angel came from heaven. And what did the angel say of Daniel? You are highly beloved. Now, before you go around believing egalitarianism, remember, ain't no angel come visited you lately with a message from heaven that said, you be highly beloved in the throne room of God. Hunger for distinction. Now, distinction isn't, look at me, look at me, look at me. It's not getting on TBN, building ginormous buildings and having a $5 million G3. The distinction is that when you get on your knees and you pray, heaven listens and answers quickly. We'll talk about that tomorrow. Heaven answers quickly. Three questions. Number one, as a team player, in your Sunday school, do you want to win? Took the Cubs a long time to figure out how to win. They had to shoot the goat first. If you don't know what that means, forget it. Number two, as a Sunday school team player in your Sunday school, are you willing to silence the firefighters that surround you? Somebody's got to... I think history is going to be nice to Richard Nixon. I just do. I mean, he did some things that were amazing. He did some dumb things and he got caught. Almost every politician does similar dumb things. Most of them don't get caught. He got caught. Okay. Remember in Star Trek, Spock says to Kirk, only Nixon could go to China. See, it's that important. 4 centuries later, they're still remembering that. That's a documentary about space. Oh, okay. I was trying. You're not going for it. Now listen. You're going to have to silence the firefighters. I think we're going to see in time, people are going to say, you know, Nixon shouldn't have done that, but he did incredible things in politics. Time is good to people who do the right things. But there's always the naysayers. Always the naysayers. Always the naysayers. Have you made any mistakes? Honest. Have you made any mistakes? Yes or no? So should we monumentalize them and demonize you for them? No. That's not what heaven does. What heaven does is say, yeah, you fell, you're human. Pick yourself up. Let's keep going. Don't let the naysayers shut you down. Don't let them silence you. Silence them. And finally, as a team player in Sunday school, will you pay the price necessary to implement the 4 strategies? Part of the price is getting here by 9 o'clock tomorrow morning. You can do it. By the way, you can't have church with deacon sheets and sister pillow. Okay, don't work that way. Let me pray for you. Thank you, Father, for your goodness and your grace and your blessing. Lord, thank you for Dennis and his burden to see each of these churches, Sunday schools, move and grow and develop. Lord, we pray that you'd help each one of us get an amazing amount of rest tonight. And Father, we pray all this blessing in Jesus' name. And all God's people said,
amen. Would you like to help spread the word? Perhaps you would consider sharing this message with a friend. God longs to release the captives of our culture into the freedom of faith. Thank you. If you would like to explore how you can be a more effective disciple of Jesus Christ, Dr. Smith has written a book to take you to the next level. Growing Missional Leaders is a practical, passionate, biblical mentoring journal for individuals, small groups, leadership teams, and congregations who desire to win their world for Christ. Readers will appreciate this enthusiastic and spirit-filled hope God provides as Matthew tells stories of lost opportunities and success with friends that give powerful encouragement of personal and corporate outreach. Opens Bible passages again and again showing God's heart is to bring His lost children home. Provides stimulating discussion questions at the end of each chapter, providing the stepping stones to launching fresh ministry into your community. Believers hungering to reach their world for Christ will be energized by this passionate call to fulfill Christ's gospel and the invigorating manner in which their ideas and thought processes will be stretched to God-sized proportions. You can order a copy of Growing Missional Leaders at the Eagles and Leadership website by clicking the appropriate link on the right-hand side panel of the Eagles and Leadership website. Today's episode was recorded live in Orangevale, California, and edited by Melody Smith in La Puente, California. And now until next time, we are praying you would be filled with the love of God so that you can demonstrate His love to the lost and dying in your city. God bless.